Yeah, so we'll discuss a minyane miwa. So we're familiar with the pasuk in Chumash, v'yom hashmini yimo besar alaso. And on the eighth day, we have the commandment of miwa. And we know there's a halacha of v'yom afilo b'shabbos. The Gemara tells us in the 19th perek of Shabbos, which deals with the laws of miwa, in contrast to other mitzvahs that we just experienced over the past month or so, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, that when it comes, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, or as the Gemara says, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, which can only happen now in the way our calendar is set up, can only happen if you're in Yerushalayim. And that's a three-day Purim Meshulash Yerushalayim. But the way our calendar is set up, we can never have Purim on Shabbos. So I'm just getting a text from someone. Are you doing one today? Yes, right now. Oh, I did. Oh, here's Marisi. I just hear him. Okay. I don't have to I don't.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
I hope I didn't
interrupt
anything.
So they point out that the halacha is the Gemara tells us we apply the principle of Gzeira Deraba, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we say no shofar today, no dalad minim. So that's the Shaila, and why? Because it might lead to Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, we don't do it. So the question is, why not Bris Mila? Why is Bris Mila different than Shofar Sukkot? How come we don't say, well, I'm going to come to carry the knife, I'm going to come to carry the baby, or whatever your concern is? So that's the Kasha of the Rishonim. So there are many different answers in the Rishonim. One answer is that by Mila is one of the few cases, it's Mila and Karban Pesach, one of the two cases. Usually you violate a negative commandment, there's an onesh, there's a punishment. Usually mere violation of a positive commandment, meaning not doing a positive, not putting on tefillin in the morning, not shaking the dalad minim. So that's just a bit to assay. There's no punishment. When we had a temple, so maybe you brought a karban, but there's no onish like makis, like a good old fashioned whooping or anything like that. So therefore, by mila, which is an assay sheyesh bo kares, mila and karban pesach are the only two positive commandments that failure to perform them results in an onish. It's a discussion. Who's the onish on the child when he becomes bar mitzvah, or does it happen until he doesn't get the kares until he dies without a milah? Machok is Rambam Ravid. But the bottom line is, since an aseh sheyesh bo kares is treated like a negative commandment, and therefore we're much stricter. Because in other words, worst case scenario, okay, I'm not downplaying it, but if you don't hear a shofar, you don't hear the shofar. You're mavato a mitzvah aseh. But to be chayef kares, we don't want to take it. We're not going to push anything off. We're not going to take any chances. So the first time opportunity you get, assuming, you know, it's halachically called the milah bizmana, so then we do it afilo b'shabbos. In fact, that answers up a famous kasha of Tosus and Kiddushin and Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. There's a famous question the Torah tells us, we read this past week, I believe, Kasha Tziva Hashem, that when God commands Avraham to circumcise Yitzchak. So the Gemara makes a drasha. It says, Oso velo osa. God commanded Abraham to circumcise his son, but not Sarah. So we see that women are exempt from the commandment of making sure their children are gemalt. The mitzvah is on the man, the husband, the father. So the shaila is, Tosis asked in Kiddushin, what do I need a pasuk for? We have a general principle that women are patur mitzvah aseh shazman grama. women are exempt from time-oriented mitzvahs. So, let's say I didn't have the pasuk. What would I think? I'd say the pasuk. So, what do I need a pasuk for? In other words, we need a pasuk to tell me something I wouldn't know. But if I know it anyway, what do I need the pasuk for? So, the Rishonim give many different answers. But one answer Tosis gives in Megillah is along these lines. A woman is pater from a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. That's when it's a regular aseh. But since the mitzvah milah involves kares, so we view it like a los aseh, like an iser aseh, a negative commandment. And therefore we know, when it comes to negative commandments, men and women are equal. They're both prohibited. They both have to keep kosher, Shabbos, etc. So that's what Tosis says in Megillah. I would have thought that since Mila is an Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, we view it as a negative commandment, not a positive commandment, an Iser Aseh, and therefore the rule of thumb would be a woman would be obligated. So I would think a woman is Chayev, she has to Gamal Hasan, Kamash Malan, we need the Pasuk to teach me, Kasher Tziva Oso, God commanded Avraham and not Sarah. So the bottom line is, we see again that, you know, Mila is different than other mitzvahs aseh, the same concept, that since Mila involves kares, so too here, since it's a aseh sheish bo kares, we're not going to push it off. We're not going to push it off even a day. Others suggest that, no, it's more of a mitzias issue. It's not a fundamental issue. It's more of a mitzias issue that in terms, because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, let's say, anyway, it was the first day of the month. Well, it still is. So we know the only Yontif in Israel, they keep Yontif Sheni, they keep 2 days, and I mean even Israelis, I don't mean visitors, is they keep 2 days on Rosh Hashanah. Again, it's another shir, maybe even if you live in B'nai Brak or somewhere, maybe you keep 2 days Yontif all the time. That's a Yontif Sheni shir. But the normative halacha is on Rosh Hashanah you keep 2 days. So why 2 days? Why Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot? So one reason given is because Rosh Hashanah is happening. Today we have a calendar, but Bizman HaGemara, they were Makadosh HaPiriyah. So it took time for the witnesses to come and get back. So the effort, when it came to the 15th of the month, everyone already knew. But when it came to the 1st of the month, like people didn't know when it was, they were mesupik when Rosh Chodesh was. So therefore, the question is, am I blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah? It's only a suffix. Maybe it's not Rosh Hashanah. So on a suffix mitzvah shofar, I'm not going to take a risk of someone might come carrying the shofar. But when it comes to Mila, I don't need a calendar. I just know I have to know how to count to 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What's the difference? What the date is? As long as I can count 8 days, I know it's Mila. So that's what someone would say. It's just a mitzias issue. It's a suffix mitzvah versus a vaday mitzvah. However, the famous answer of the Taz and Rev David Cohen from Brooklyn wrote, he's still alive, he's written many svarim, and maybe he's continuing to write svarim. But one of his, I think the name of one of his svarim is the Taz HaYadua, this well-known Taz. And I'll fill you, now you at least understand the name of his book. What's the well-known Taz? And he wants to show, this is he showed throughout, but the well, what is the Taz? What does he say? The Taz writes, it gets into the nature of the power of the Chacham. How much power do these rabbis have? In other words, if you have a conflict, the Torah tells you one way, and the rabbis tell you another way, who do you listen to? What do you do in a conflict? So there's a famous Gemara in Yevamos that talks about, Yesh koach biyad Chachamim la'akor dvar Torah b'shei v'al tasa. That the rabbis have the ability to uproot a mitzvah by telling you not to do it. In other words, when it comes to shofar, I can tell you not to do it. Or when it comes to shaking the fourth species on Sukkot, I could tell you not to do it. However, if you're having a Mac attack and you feel you have to have a cheeseburger, so the rabbis can tell you, because that's kum va'aseh. That's actively violating the Torah. Of course, if your life's in danger, you could have a Mac. But assuming it's not a serious medical condition, then no, they can't just tell you to violate a daraisa because you're violating it actively. So that's the rule. That's the klal in the Gemara. So then the Gemara goes in and makes other qualifications. So one of the qualifications are, when do we say the rabbis could uproot a mitzvah? That's if it's not mefurish bekra. If it's not explicitly written in the Chumash, so then there's leeway room for the Chachamim. But if it's explicitly written in the Chumash that this has to be, then the rabbis have no power. So let me explain what the Taz is saying. So he's saying, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so what does it say in the Chumash? It says, When Rosh Hashanah falls out, we have a mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. But it doesn't say in the Torah that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we blow the shofar. If it would have said in the Torah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we blow the shofar, so then the rabbis can't make a decree not to blow shofar. It's mefurish bekra. But since it's not same thing on the first day of Yontif, of Sukkot. If it would say, on the first day of Sukkot, when it falls on Shabbos, we have to shake the Dalet Minim, so then the rabbis could make the decree. It doesn't. So what is the Taz, right? However, when it comes to Mila, even though it doesn't, but it does, according to the Taz anyway, the Taz writes, it's Mefurish Bekra that you could do Mila on Shabbos. So it's Mefurish Bekra, so the rabbis have no power, so they can't do Gzeirah. That's the Taz HaYadua. Something which, just parenthetically, it's not really Mefurish Bekra by Mila, but the Taz HaShita is, even if you learn it out from the Yud Gibel Midos, Shatorah and the Dreshes, that's considered, because all the Pasuk says, U Vayom Hashmini Yimo, so what? Why does it say U Vayom? They say U Vashmini. And the fact that it says Uviyom, so that's, we learn, I feel, so the Taz is learning that, you could debate whether that's Mefurish Bekra or not, but our assumption is like the Taz, because we're quoting the Taz, he considers it Mefurish, so there wouldn't be, if it's not Mefurish Bekra, then clearly the Taz's answer wouldn't work, but he's considering it Mefurish Bekra, and therefore, the rabbis have no power to say no Bris Mila on Shabbos. Jeff.
Is it not
Mefurish
Bekra that you shake
a lulav
on first day
Sukkot? It is.
This is Mefurish.
Yeah, but that's not Mefurish. But if the Yom HaRishon is Shabbos, it's not Mefurish.
Even if it's Shabbos, they would have to say to make it Mefurish.
Correct. Yeah, because this saying it's not, that's what Mefurish, but right. So, according to Taz, Uvayom, the extra word Uvayom is Mefurish Bekra, but the fact that it doesn't say Shabbos is because, why? Because we learn out from Torah Shabbal Peh that Mila is Docha Shabbos, that's from the extra word Uvayom. So either way, whether you could debate whether Mila is Mefurish Bekra or not, we can't debate that we do Mila on Shabbos. Then you have to, you know, then you have to explain, you know, why we do it. Alz Gzeira Derabba, you'll come up to the other reasons we gave. There's no practical difference. It's just the lumdus of why behind it. And this is the time, but he has a whole sefer showing how this plays out in general, where the Chachamim can't make decrees against something, and he gets the whole sefer is on the koach hachachamim. He goes through, you know, many we've discussed in different lengths, different times. How far does it go? Let's say you went ahead and violated the rabbinic decree. You blew shofar on Shabbos. You shook. Is that a kiyam hamitzvah? So you know, that's not the shiur tonight, but that's the question is, how far does the power of the chachamim go? Do they have enough power to say the mitzvah doesn't exist, or they can only tell me I can't do it, but they can't, they don't have the power to take away the reality. So that's a separate shir. So bottom line here, so we see the reason, so Vayoma Shmini Yimo Basara Lasso, we pass in a Milo Bizmana, Milo on day 8, is a Filo Bishabis, in contrast to Sukkis, Dalad Minim, Shofar, and Megillah. So that's this. So that's the Gemara in Shabbos. So we know a Milo Bizmana. What about a Suffolk Milo Bizmana? Let's say I'm not sure if it's day 8. Like, what do you mean it's not sure? You don't know how to count? Like, get a calculator, go to a mathematician like Jeff, and get someone who knows how to count to day 8 and find out. Like, what do you mean I don't know? What don't I know about? So clearly that's not the doubt. If you just count, and so what is the doubt? So the classic case the Mefarshim bring down is a Ben Hashmashes, it's a halachic doubt. It's clearly he knows how to count to day 8. But that's not what the doubt is. We doubt is we don't know when day 8 is. What do you mean we don't know what day it is? So there's halacha in general that there's, we call day and night, but there's a halachic definition of day, a halachic definition of night. And who cares if it's day or night? You might care if you want a bike or not, but what does it care in terms of halacha? So is what do you... What you signing a legal document? What date do you put on? Among what do you put on the ksuva? What do you put on many things? But so the issue is like this: so before sunset, it's definitely daytime. It's still halachically the day, and when the three stars come out at night,
yes.
When it's night, when it's dark out, when it's the three stars, seitzach hachavim, it's nighttime. So let's assume those are two. Of course, we could debate at what point is nighttime, but that's not today's shir. But there's day and there's night, and there's a time period in between called Ben Hashmasha, Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, that the time, what we call twilight, is considered Daofu Day, Daofu. And why is this, Rav Salavasha asks, why is this Suffolk Yom? He says, because if you go back to Parshas Bereishis, the question is, how do you define day? Is day defined by the sun? That means once the sun sets, so it's no longer day anymore. Or no, it's defined by light. As long as it's so obviously we know after sunset, it's still light out for a while. So that's the issue. That's the suffix. How do we define day? Is it defined by the sunset, by no longer having a sun, or when there's no longer light? So hence you have your machoket. So it's a suffix yom, suffix laila. So the question is, a baby is born, let's say candle lighting this week.
Quarter to five.
Well, let's just call it 5:42 for simplicity purposes. Let's say it was 5:42 or 4:42 for, let's call it 4:42. Is candle lighting. That means 18 minutes before sunset. Let's call 5 o'clock sunset. So, and then let's assume for our purposes, 5:42 is nightfall, whatever.
Yes.
So let's say someone's born between 5 and 5:30. So again, there could be a difference. Again, I'm not going, is let's say you're born within the first 10 minutes of Shkia, versus the last 10 minutes. But for our purposes, let's just say all Ben Hashmashas is equal. You know, halachically, there's a discussion among the poskim, how far, at what moment, do you consider Yom for different halachas of Hefsek Tara, halachas regarding Nida, and other halachas, but we'll keep it simple. We'll assume it all has the status of Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. So a baby is born between 5 o'clock and 5:45 Friday night. So, is that baby born on Friday, or is that baby born on Shabbos? Because we said we know. So why he's born, we don't know. Because he's born during doubtful day, doubtful night. So we don't know. If we know the facts, we know he was born at 5 o'clock, or let's say 5:15, but we don't know if 5:15 is considered Friday, or is 5:15. So what's the difference? why do I have to know? Because usually during the week it would make a difference. Because you just go, or perhaps it will, but we'll see. So why is Shabbos different? Because let's assume he was born on Friday then. Let's assume 5:15, if I assume it's Friday, then when do I have to do the bris? I do it on Friday. And if I assume 5:15 is Shabbos, so then I do the bris on Shabbos. So what's the problem? Let's say it happened on Tuesday. If I don't know if the baby's born on Monday or Tuesday, so if I do it on Monday, maybe it's only day 7. So if I do it on Tuesday, either it's day 8 or it's past. But I'm definitely yotzei the mitzvah milah. So if it's a Tuesday ben hashmashes baby, so we always obviously if it's ben hashmashes, we just have to go assume it's the next day because you don't want to end up doing a milah on day 7. So there's no harm. Day 8 works. So what's the problem? I'll have the bris on Shabbos. Why can't I have the bris on Shabbos? It's definitely day 8. Well, it's not definitely day 8. It might be day 9. As we said, the halacha is only a mila bizmana, a vadai mila bizmana is docha Shabbos, and not a suffolk mila bizmana. And hence, a ben hashmashes baby, a twilight baby, we have to wait until Sunday. Because a mila shelo bizmana cannot be done on Shabbos. That's the classic suffolk ben hashmashes baby. There's another type of ben hashmashes baby, another suffolk baby, not ben hashmashes baby. That's the Gemara. The Gemara tells us. What's the Gemara again? The Gemara in the 19th parak in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about a C-section baby. A baby that's born through C-section, not through the normal way. So a yotzei dofen is called in halacha. So why do we discriminate against C? I don't know if it's true anymore. Once a C-section baby, always. That's a medical question. But why do we discriminate against C-section babies? Like, what do you mean? So what? So number one, let's go to the Gemara. What do you do on a C-section baby? So what's the debate? One opinion says you do it on day 8, like any other baby. Why wouldn't I do it on day 8? And the other opinion says you do it day 1. Like, what's the issue?
Day 1,
you know, assuming the baby's healthy and strong enough, you do it day 1. The point is, you don't have to wait for day 8. The first time you could do the bris, you could do it. That's the point of day 1. If the baby's not strong enough day 1, you wouldn't do it. That's what I'm saying. But in theory, you could, the time is day 1, and whatever time you can do it, you do it. It's like when I say it's day 8, if it's not, if you can't do it on day 8, you don't. But I mean the first possible time. So what's the argument in either direction? So what argument is, where does bris come from? Avram Avinu. It was before the Torah was given. There was no laws of Tumah v'Taira. And yet we know Avram gemalt his son on day 8. So we see day 8 has nothing to do. What is Tumah v'Taira? Because the halacha is, strictly speaking, if a woman gives birth through C-section, she doesn't become tame. Because you only become, when blood comes out, when the baby comes out of the natural place, and then the woman becomes, Isha kisazri of a yod. The Gemara makes a juxtaposition between the laws of a woman giving birth, and uvayom hashmini imo besara lasso. So the Gemara makes a drasha. It's only yom shmini lumi lasso when it's isha kisazri of a yolda. It's only if it's a natural birth. So therefore, since this isn't a natural birth, it's a C-section. So therefore, the opinion says, what about Avram Avinu? Who cares about Avram Avinu? The Torah was given to us by Sinai, and therefore we go by what it says on Sinai, not by Avram Avinu. And therefore, you only do a mila on day 8 if a woman becomes tame, if it's isha kisazria v'yolda zocha levit tama shiva shamim. If it's a C-section, even though practically speaking today a woman is going to see blood anyway, she'll become tame. But it's not the It's not the biblical thing of like the 7 days and 14 days by a male or a female. If you have a C-section. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says, so what do we do? So it's a sveika d'dina. It's a suffix how we paskin by C-section. Do we do day one or do we do day eight? So if a C-section baby is born on Tuesday, so when do you do the bris? So we do it on day eight, because why? If day one's the day, but so day eight also works. It's still a good bris. But if it's really day eight and you do it day one, so you're doing a mila shalo bismana. You're doing, and therefore it's a no, so therefore we cover ourselves and we did not do the bris until day eight. However, the same issue is if a C-section baby is on Shabbos, I can't do it day eight because it's only a suffix mila bismana. Because maybe really a C-section baby should be done on day one. If it's day one, this isn't day one, so it's no longer a mila bismana. I can't be docha Shabbos. Hence, a C-section baby must wait until Sunday. So therefore, we have the two classic cases of suffix, a twilight baby or a C-section baby. Twilight baby, it's a halachic, but it's a metzias issue. We don't know if it's yom or laila. And this is a halachic debate. So the modern day shaila today is, besides these two are modern days, but to add an additional modern day shaila is a baby which is born through IVF, artificial insemination, all these new technologies. Let's say a woman couldn't conceive naturally and she took fertility, whatever, you know, all the details, whatever they may be, and she becomes pregnant through these artificial insemination, IVF, whatever they might be, that might make a difference. But for our purposes, let's lump them all together for the moment. So let's say a woman went through IVF. She had a baby on Shabbos. So next Shabbos is the bris. Would there be any shaila about doing a bris on Shabbos? So that's a major, and I might as well quote Rav David Feinstein's atzal, but when I get to him, his opinion on this matter. So that's the shaila. So the question is, what kind of shaila is it? Like, why in the world would I think, what's this? In other words, why would I even think it's a shaila? First of all, who says it is a shaila? So I went to thought it was a shaila. When I heard it was a shaila, it was shocking to me. What was it based on? It's based on a Gemara in Chagiga, I think it's Tezvav or Tezayin, about bathhouse. A woman becomes pregnant in the bathhouse. In other words, that's the whole question, whether that's a Gaddic Gemara. Is it even to be taken literal? Is it an allusion to Yashka? Whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, the Gemara has the following case. We know the halacha is a Kohen Gadol must marry a besula, a virgin.
Yes.
So the shaila the Gemara asks is, could he marry a pregnant virgin? A virgin who is pregnant. You know, of course, as the old joke goes, you know, you can't be a little bit pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. So what do you mean, a pregnant virgin? Isn't that an oxymoron? So Shmuel says no. He says, there are ways, if you know how to have relations without breaking the besulim, there are ways of working it out. That's his. He gets a technical answer, but that's not the one we're interested in. It's the second answer the Gemara says is, yeah, a woman, after a man was in a bathhouse and he had, you know, and he spilled seed in the bathhouse, whatever reason, and then a woman comes in and she gets impregnated from the seeds in the bathhouse. So we're not getting into whether that can actually happen, and that's a discussion in the Gemara. But there are people who take this Gemara seriously in terms, whether that could happen. That's a whole discussion. Whether it's, and in fact, there's another. This is at least the Gemara. There's a famous. Some also bring down again. It's a question whether it's urban legend or it actually happened, but they say about Ben Sira. Ben Sira, they say that according to, and so Rishonim bring this down. It's not like it's, you know, and others say it's totally not true, that they say Ben Sira's mother was Yirmiyahu's daughter, and Ben Sira's father was Yirmiyahu. So what was Yirmiyahu was his father, and Yirmiyahu's daughter was his mother? Like, what do you mean? So that's what they explain, that they say that the Yirmiyahu, whatever he was, he had spilled seed in the bathhouse. Then his daughter went in, and she became pregnant. In fact, they said, I think Gematria, Ben Sira, and Yirmiyahu. So either, so again, so whether that's true or not, but you know, that's what they discuss. So the point being is, that's the Gemara. So that by itself is, so what? That's not really going to help us or not. Where the issue comes in is one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chanano. Rabbeinu Chanano says a tremendous chiddush on this Gemara. He says, you know what? A baby that's born in the bathhouse through this method, you cannot do a bris on Yom Shemini on Shabbos. It's not considered a normal Leda. It's not considered a regular Leda. And therefore, this type of baby born, if it's born on Shabbos, you cannot do a bris on Yom Shemini b'Shabbos. That's the statement of Rabbeinu Chanano. So that's what he says. So number one is, it's a tremendous chiddush. Because why? Because the Gemara says a C-section baby it's a shaila. But that's because the birth is different. In the case of the conception being different, but the birth isn't any different. Well, who says that conception plays any role? And I mean, I'll tell you, Rabbeinu Chanano. That's who says it. But before Rabbeinu Chanano, no one said it. So Rabbeinu Chanano says that this person is not a Yom HaShmini. You can't do. So the question is, what's pshat? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, what's pshat in Rabbeinu Chanano? What does he mean that this type of baby does not get gemalt on day 8? So he says there's two possibilities what Rabbeinu Chanano means. Number one, he means is that this means it's a miraculous occurrence. It's a mice and nace, because who gets pregnant from being in a bathhouse? So therefore, it's not a normal leda. Is that the pshat? That we don't, when it comes to miraculous birth, the regular halachas of the Torah, we don't consider this a normal birth. What do I say? No. It's not that it's miraculous. It's just not the natural way of becoming pregnant. Yeah, okay. So what's the difference, you'll say? A big difference. Because let's say IVF or artificial, even though it's less uncommon today, but it still wouldn't be the normative way to become. The normative way still is the normative, the natural way of doing things. But so therefore, it still wouldn't be kederach, but it's hard to say it's miraculous. Science will tell you exactly how it works. So if you assume Rabbi Dochanan means miraculous, so then it's nothing to do with IVF. So IVF you would do on day 8. But if you assume it means shelo kederech, so then one could argue, is this considered today lo kederech or not? You know, that would be the, so clearly, and back then, so therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes, like the latter, that Rabbi Chanano sheet is, it's because it's shelo kederech, it's not the normative way of doing things, and hence he paskins an IVF baby, all the RV, you know, artificial insemination, all this, cannot be done on Shabbos. It's a suffix mila bismana, because maybe it doesn't have a status of a normal leda, based on Rabbeinu Chananel's opinion on the bathhouse, and therefore he says we have to go l'chumra. We're talking about chilul Shabbos, and he says you have to wait until Sunday to do the bris mila. So that's, when I first heard, I thought it was a big chiddush, like to say that. Until then I heard, well, it still was a big chiddush, but then I heard Rav Herschel Schachter agrees with him. I believe Rav Mordechai Willig also, two of my Rebbeim. And then I heard as well Rav David Cohen, one of the Taz Hayedu, another big post-ake in Brooklyn. I'm saying like, wow, it sounds like it's normative halacha then. And I've told people back, I've got to Shiloh many times, and I've told people that you should wait until Sunday when I was asked. But then in going through the the sug, not the sugya, but the contemporary poskim, at least I've heard more on the other side, who say that you can do a bris milah on Shabbos, which I would have thought. I thought it was a chiddush, but if all the poskim are saying it, who am I? What's the difference? What I think? I'll go with the gedolei poskim. But then I heard as well on the other side. Well, Avaji Yosef was always on the other side of the coin. He said, "No, you could do it on Shabbos. It's a milah bris." But I'm at Svardi, so you know it's nice that he says it, but he's not going to hold weight against all the gedolei poskim. But then I heard Rav Asher Weiss says you do the bris on Shabbos, and I heard as well Rev David Feinstein, that's where he comes in, Zatzal, if I could say for the first time. He said you do a bris on Shabbos. So you have, so there are many poskim on the other side as well who would say that you can do a bris on Shabbos on this type of baby. And then I think they say there's a steer in Rev, there's a steer in Rev El Yashav about, I guess it's, does some want to make a difference between artificial insemination and IVF, but it could get in because it gets into the process of where is the eggs going to be fertilized. It gets into how it works. So some want to say artificial insemination is happening in you. So that's still considered. The issue it comes down is what's considered a normal Leda. So some want to make a distinction within modern technology. As long as it's happening within you, it's considered, and IVF, it's happening outside of you. So some want to say, Rabbi Yashav changed his mind, because originally he said, well, he saw artificial wasn't that common. But then, you know, 10 years later, and I'm not talking about now 20 years, whatever it was. So today it's, again, so it gets into, whether I assume it, even so, if you assume it's miraculous, so then there's nothing to talk about. You definitely do the bris on Shabbos. It's not even clear Rabbi Chananel was saying it. It's a child with, number one, Rabbi Chananel is a chiddush. Well, let me go back a step. What do the other Rishonim say about it? Nothing. So that's always the question. When you have one Rishon saying something and no other Rishon saying, do I assume it? Everyone agrees with this, Rabbi Nochanano, or everyone disagrees with it? That's a further debate, how you want to learn something. It touches on many fundamental questions. How do you view a sugya when one Rishon says it and no one else? Do I say, oh, everyone agrees, or no? He says it, but no one else agrees. So that he plays into the factor. And secondly here, even within Rabbi Nochanano, like it's not even clear what he says. So then, it's only a suffix within Rabbi Chananel. If you learn, he's learning miraculous, and everyone would agree you would do it. It's only on the side. Also, Rav David Bleich also holds not to do a bris milah on Shabbos. He's on the chumrah side as well, not to do it on Shabbos. And therefore, so let's say according to Rav Schechter's view, that one should not do a bris on Shabbos. What happens if you did a bris on Shabbos? Is it a no-go? Or do I have to do hatafis dam bris? Because why? What's the halacha if I do a bris too early? Let's say I do a bris on day 7. So they say, I just say it's okay. I shouldn't have done it, but no. You need hatafis dam bris. You got to take off dam after because it's not good. So what would Rav Schechter say? So they asked Rav Schechter, he'd say, no, I agree, it's still good. In other words, even Rav Schechter would agree when it came to the case of this the IV, in other words, because it's tapping, because I know there are people who actually had no idea it was a Shaila. They had, one of the kids got, and then they heard about it 5 years later, so they wanted to know if they had it, like, is that kid's bris still good or not? So, you know, so therefore the answer is, you know, the answer is yes. You would have to go ahead. You know why it's not is a discussion. And the question was everyone. That's Rav, I know Rav Schechter would say you wouldn't have to. You know, I'm assuming the other people also would be. Because I'm saying number one, it's a chiddush to begin with, and it's a chiddush or Rabbeinu Chananel. It's a suffix what Rabbeinu and plus I have Rav David Feinstein. I have Rav Asher Weiss. I have Avaji Yosef. And perhaps Rav El Yashav would agree with artificial insemination, that you have those who would say that you can do a bris on Shabbos. So, It sounds like a question, l'chadchila. Should I l'chadchila do the bris on Shabbos, or should I push it off until Sunday? And also the question is, like, who is it up to the mo'el? Like, does the mo'el have to ask the question? And let's say, and who's it? Does it go by how the mo'el paskins or how the father paskins? Who do you go by? Let's say the mo'el is a talmid of Usher Weiss, and the father's a talmid of Schechter. Who does it go by? Who do you paskin like? But yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, look, is the point this, that if you did it on Shabbos, and afterwards it seems, looking back, you shouldn't have done it, so it was chilul Shabbos, it's still a good bris. It's still a good mila. Is that the point?
Well, you're assuming it's chilul Shabbos. You made it, you said it.
Assuming that it had something within it.
Right, I'm saying this.
You said, we shouldn't have after all, but it was done, it's not like in day seven, but it was never good.
Yes, yeah, so I'm...
Chilul Shabbos doesn't spoil it being a good mila.
Yeah, I want, right. So the question is there a middle ground? In other words, clearly doing it before day eight is no good. There's nothing to talk about.
Yes.
See, I know. So if you do it on day eight, it's good. The question is here, everyone agrees it's day eight. The question is whether you could do it on Shabbos or not. So the machlokes is whether l'chadchila you should do it. I'm saying, maybe it's not chilul Shabbos, I'm raising the question. Would Rav Schechter say? I don't know if Rav Schechter would say it's chilul Shabbos. He would just say it's best to do it on Sunday. Versus saying is, it's usher. In other words, if you ask Rav Schechter, he would say wait until Sunday. Whether he'd say if you already did it, whether it's chilul Shabbos or not, I don't know if you can. Maybe it's not chilul Shabbos. At best, it's only a suffix chilul Shabbos. And even he, and the fact he's saying, in other words, what's the question in general? Let's say on a C-section baby, which halacha we say you can't do on Shabbos. Would you need a toughest on bris or not? So, if the answer is yes, so then you could discuss here. But if by C-section you wouldn't, then certainly not this. It could depend on that shaila. If one did a C-section, because many people don't know about C-section halacha either. If someone went ahead and did a C-section baby on day eight on Shabbos, would you have to go ahead and do it? So if the answer is no, then certainly you wouldn't have to do it in this case. But if the answer is, even if the answer is yes in that case, that's black and white the way we paskin. Here it's not, again, it's right. So if you have Shechter holds it's usher, so then it would be chilul Shabbos. But the fact he says you wouldn't have to do, the question is whether, whether that would still, that would be a question whether whether we view it as chilul Shabbos or not. And it's kind of like, it's not a case of pikuach nefesh, but let's say, something gets into hutra and dechuya, that if you did something you didn't have to do, but if it's for a pikuach nefesh person, is that considered chilul Shabbos or not? Maybe even they agree maybe there's something you shouldn't have done it, but doesn't automatically make it chilul Shabbos anymore. So that's a further debate on the question. Yeah.
Sorry, if suppose in good faith you did the mila, afterwards it turns out it was chilul Shabbos. How do you define that? So it was. Just assume that. Does that mevatel for the mila?
Like, so what do you mean? It was a day seven baby. What was the case?
No. But what if whatever reason? No.
I gotta know the reason.
It's okay. So you should have postponed it. It was day eight, but you should have postponed it for whatever reason. But you did it on Shabbos. You were machal on Shabbos.
Yeah. So I said.
Was unintentional, whatever you like. Does it mevatel the mila? Was the mila still good?
Right. So that's the shaila. In other words, that's because it's a Rabbi Akiva Eger. In other words, it's a discussion on that Tosis I spoke about in the beginning of this year. Tosis and Chav Tes. That one of the answers. We said, what do we need a pasuk for? If that Avram commanded Sarah, they say it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So Tosis and Kiddushin gives her a halacha shalol kehilchasa. He says, because there's an opinion in the Gemara in Yevamos that says that once you pass day eight, you can do the mila even at night. It's only during the day up until day eight. But once it's, if you're doing the milah on day 10, 11, 12, 13, you could do it at night. So therefore, since it could be done day and night, it's a lav zman grama, a woman would be chayev, hence I need the pasuk. So comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he asks, like, what are you talking about? It's not zman, it's still zman grama. Why? You can't do it on Shabbos. If it's day 18, but it's Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos, even though after day 8, you could do it day and night, but if Shalom b'zman, I can't, so it should still be a zman grama. So Rabbi Kiva Eger answers, no, it's still considered lav zman grama, because the fact something's usher to do doesn't make it a zman grama. In other words, the question is, if you did it anyway, what would have happened? So Rabbi Kiva Eger's mashma, that if you did that, if you did the bris after day 8, even though you shouldn't have done it on Shabbos, maybe you still get the mitzvah of mila. In other words, that's the shot. So that, I said, so that's a discussion in the poskim. How do you, in other words, the question is, the fact something's usher doesn't mean you don't get the mitzvah. So that's a, so that's a major debate. So let's summarize here. We discussed the issue, why don't we say Gzeira de Rabba by Milu like we do by Shofar and Sukkah, so either because Milu is an Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, the other ones are this regular Aseh, so therefore it's like a negative commandment. It's Suffolk versus Vadai. We don't know when Rosh Hashanah is, so therefore we're not going to blow Shofar on a Chilul Shabbos on a Suffolk Shofar, but Milu discount day 8 and you get to it, it's a Vadai. Or the Taz HaYedua, that means that it's Mefurish Bekras. I mean, since it's explicit in the Pasuk, so therefore the rabbis can't tell me not to. And then we discussed only a Mila Bizman is on Shabbos. So a Twilight Baby, we don't know if it's day 8 or day 9. So then it's Suffolk Mila Bizmana. So therefore we don't do it on Shabbos. Also a C-section baby we don't do on Shabbos. And the big Shiloh is IVF or artificial insemination, based on the Gemara and Chagiga, bathhouse, is what's put in the Gemara, is like Rabbi Chanel, is it because it's Derech Nes, or is it because of it's not Kedarko? And Rabbi Chanel writes, you don't do this bris on Shabbos because it's not a normal Leda. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Schachter, Rav Bleich, Rav David Cohen go to Chumra and say, we have to be choshes, it's lo kederach, and therefore we don't do the bris on Shabbos. And Rav David Feinstein, Zatzal, and Rav Usher Weiss, and some others I'm forgetting, Rav Aji Yosef, all say, no, you do it on Shabbos, you know, because they hold it is kederach, and therefore that's a major shaila among contemporary poskim today, whether you would do an IVF, an artificial insemination baby, if day 8 falls out on Shabbos. You follow or not?